We've been looking at Psalm 103, and we'll just touch base on that a little bit again today, and then we'll move forward with this. Psalm 103, starting in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." And I always love to say this passage of scripture, this particular part of Psalm 103, is so powerful. This is one of those passages that we should commit to memory. Because what a wonderful passage to continue to go over and over, rehearse and rehearse and rehearse in your daily life. Because, you know, if it isn't something attacking our finances or attacking our physical bodies or attacking our relationships, attacking oppression is what it is. We need to have something like this in our arsenal to pull out. Why? Because I believe that as soon as something comes to attack, the enemy is also there as the accuser of the brethren to try to tell you why this has happened or why you should accept this or why you deserve this, or to try to bring shame or guilt or some kind of thing that's which is what he's so good at. He's a shamer. He's an accuser. You know, like Pastor says, he gives you a baseball bat and then he puts you in the corner to beat yourself up with it. You know, he attacks and then he shames you for it. He's just a dirty bum is what he is. And so this tells us here that we're to bless God. Bless him on a daily basis. Bless him, and not to forget the benefits of our covenant that we have with him. Sometimes we forget, you know, and especially when we're embroiled in something, we're in the middle of something that's difficult, we're being challenged, we're being attacked, we're being maligned, whatever it is, it's easy to forget the benefits. It's very easy to forget. It's because you get so caught up with the moment, the emotion of the difficult thing that you're going through, it's easy to forget. That's why if we keep this on our lips on a daily basis, it's less easy to forget that we have this wonderful benefits package that came when we confessed Jesus as Lord, we signed on the dotted line, we became part of the body of Christ, part of the family of God. This is this wonderful benefits package that accompanied that. It was the forgiveness of iniquities, the healing of diseases, our lives being redeemed from destruction. You know, there's so much destruction in the world today. There's in so many different forms. There's diseases and there's just pollution and there's environmental issues. And then we have the destruction of just the world's philosophies today. I mean, the philosophy of the world. How many of you got a chance to see the Billy Graham thing on Fox News the other night? Oh my gosh, it was so good. Sean Hannity had him on. It was later in the evening, and Billy Graham is now 95 years old, and so they did a little bit of an interview with him, but most of it was him, little shots of his different crusades over the years, and then him just talking about his love for the Lord and the goodness of God. And I just wanted to just stand up and applaud Fox News for having something so bold broadcast on their channel. It was the gospel message. He preached the gospel message, and then he had kind of followed the story of two young people. One was a young black rapper and a Christian that talks about the journey he was on and how he was so hopeless and how he was in trouble. His life was a mess. He was caught up in all kinds of stuff, and how his journey coming to the Lord. And then the other one was a young woman who was contemplating suicide, and how she had gone to a church service with her grandmother, and she was going to commit suicide that night. And her grandmother took her to church, and an older man, first of all, the pastor spoke out something about sensing that there was a spirit of suicide in the place. And then this older man reached out to her and just ministered to her and just won her over. And so I just applaud them for being so bold to have something like this on national broadcasted type of program, you know, to see that they were bold enough to have something so profoundly powerful, such an impacting type of program where the gospel was preached, because he preached the cross. He talked about the cross. He talked about the power of the cross. He talked about righteousness and about that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that God gives us this robe to put on, and that our righteousness is as filthy rags. It was so good. It was so powerful. And that this is the answer, because they asked some questions to, you know, about how do you feel about where you see the world is today? And he said, it's always been this way. The answer is the same. It's the cross. It's what Jesus did. And so it was very, very powerful. But because of what Jesus did, he's like our CEO, I guess you could say. We have this incredible benefits package that goes along with being a Christian, being part of the body of Christ. And it's redemption from everything that hurts and harms. It's redemption from shame and guilt. And who hasn't done something? Has anybody in this room, excluding this little man, not done something you're ashamed of? That you, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I'm not so happy that I did that. You know, and for us that have maybe walked in the world for a number of years, some of you guys have, you know, didn't have that, like we, some of us older ones did. But we have a lot that we could, that the enemy could bring up before us to shame us and make us feel guilty. And you know what? We've been redeemed from that. We've been even redeemed from the guilt and the shame of the things that we did. And so this psalm is so powerful because he forgave our iniquities. He healed our diseases. He redeemed our lives from destruction. It says he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Never will we go to God and have him point his finger in our face or poke us in the chest and say, you did this and you, no, he will always crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. It says he satisfies our youth with our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, you guys know how passionate I am about that. Don't talk old age around me. And it's not because I'm getting older. It's because I don't believe in it. I do not believe we should talk old age. I kind of had to have speaks with somebody the other night on Wednesday night that was here. They don't come often, and they were talking about their old, their age related stuff. And I said, you're not going to get around away with that around me. we don't talk that way here, you know, and this is somebody that's been with us for a long time. So I could kind of poke them about it, but I said, you can't talk that way. We don't talk old age in this church. Why? Because he said he would satisfy us with good things so that our youth could be renewed like the eagles. Then the verse that we've kind of settled on over the last few weeks, or did settle on, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Excuse me. You know, so many times people traditionally, religiously, people would read this as the Lord executes and judges the righteous. This is not what this means. The Lord executes righteousness. In other words, God does right by us. He does right by the body of Christ, by his children. He has done right by us. And how did he do that? By sending Jesus to the cross in our place. And it's for all that are oppressed. You know, even the worst sinner, the most degenerate, horrible, lawless person, God looks at them as an oppressed person. We don't look at them that way. We look at them as a guilty person. We look at them as a low-life person. God looks at them as an oppressed, and he provided salvation equally for that person as he did for this little man right here, this little innocent child. That's how God sees this. This is what God has provided through this wonderful plan of salvation, and this is what gives us a legal precedent when it comes to anything in life that we have need of. It says he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Oh, God is so good. He's so good. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Now, this last verse is the one I want to look at a little bit here. And he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now, that flies in the face of all the arguments of the people who want to say that God is going to use certain things in life to chastise you or to correct you or to teach you. Doesn't this just fly in the face of that reasoning? It says he will not deal with us after our sins or according to our sins. He will not. He hasn't and he will not. Nor will he reward us according to our iniquities. people say things like, well, you know, I'm just reaping what I sowed. You know, there is a reaping in the natural sense, in this horizontal sense, there's a natural reaping for the stupid things we do. But that isn't God. It isn't God. You know, if you treat your body like junk, what are you going to get?
Junk.
If you know what they say, garbage in, garbage out. If you don't get your rest, if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to reap that. If you spend money unwisely, and if you don't handle your money, if you don't keep a budget, if you don't tell your money where to go instead of your money telling you where it's going to go, what's going to happen? See, we reap, that's a natural law. That is not God judging. That is not God rewarding us according to our iniquities. Those are just natural things. And, you know, we can turn that around as quickly as it got bad. We can get it turned around by making some adjustments. Now, it depends on how long sometimes we've been down that road. You know, a pastor and I, he's freely confessed that how many years we just were foolish with money and we didn't manage our money. We didn't tell our money where to go. We just kind of let it do its own thing. And it took us a long time to correct that. But it's corrected. Praise God, it got corrected. Amen. So, but it took discipline and it took some hard work. And so sometimes we want to repent. We want to change our mind about something. And then we just want it just to turn around right away. Well, you know, sometimes that happens, but usually it doesn't. And you know, that's where patience and long suffering come in, where you just have to stick with something and go after it until you see it through. But it's not God. It's not God punishing or testing or, it's very warm in here. It's not God. That's the thing you have to recognize. It's never God. All right. Now let's go and look at Isaiah chapter 53 for a few minutes. And I think it's good for us sometimes to stop and ask, what I'm dealing with, is this me? Is this a natural thing that I'm dealing with? Am I reaping a something that I've sown? Or you never, ever consign those things to the Father, ever. It's never God. It's never God trying to teach you or he's punishing you. Or it's never God. It's always, usually, the fruit of our own foolishness, just foolishness, you know. Look, we are still of this world, and I'll tell you, the easy way is foolishness. The easy way is just to do things that are easy and would appeal to our flesh. As long as you're in this body, your flesh is going to have an appetite. As long as you're in here, there's appetites that are ungodly that we have to control. That is just part of being a human being living in a fallen system. There are things that you're going to be confronted with. There's things that you're going to want too much of, things that you should do that you're not going to want to do. These are all just the flesh. When we got redeemed, we didn't get redeemed from the flesh. Amen? Our flesh, the flesh, that nature, that those desires, those cravings for things, we didn't get redeemed from that. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. That's where yielding to the Holy Ghost. If you'll yield to the Holy Ghost, you will not fulfill those things. And so that's why your walk with God is so important. Okay, Isaiah chapter 53, starting with verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know, again, what report are we going to believe? There's so many things that are flying in our faces constantly. You know, whether it's a news report, a doctor's report, the banker's report, we're getting served papers, divorce papers, whatever it is, what report are you going to believe? We have to choose to believe God's report. You know, there are people, they go to the doctor, they find out all the dirty details of their problem, and then they talk it, and they tell everybody all the details about how bad it is. This is what they're saying. And they don't know what God says, but they know everything about what the doctor said about what they're dealing with. Every single little detail. People will go online and research their disease. And they'll have right down to what to expect next. This is what's going to happen next. This is what you can expect. But yet they have about this much in comparison of the word to counter that. And that's a shame that, now, if we want to talk about shame, that's the shame, right? There's the shame because God has an answer for that doctor's report. God has an answer for when the market, not the market, but the real estate market in this area crashed. We lost, I think, like, I forget what it is now, but over $10,000 of our home's value. I think it was 10, fell off just because the market changed so much. You know, we could have just cried about that. And, oh God, what are we going to do? We're going to believe God anyway. You know, we're going to continue to believe God. He's our source. The market's not our source. God's our source. And so we have to choose which report we're going to believe. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise, that we shouldn't know and recognize certain things that are going on in life. We shouldn't recognize symptoms if they're coming along, but we better have God's word on our mouths, on our lips to counter that. We better. I mean, that's just the only way that's going to work. Whose report are we going to believe? That's what he's saying. And who's believed our report? And of course, the whole message of healing, the whole message of any of the principles of God, that comes by revelation. You know, we could probably, every person in this room could probably quote scriptures about healing, but it's got to come by revelation. We have to have it established in our lives. And that comes by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where he can enlighten and reveal things to us. And that's what he was given to us for. He is called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. So he's here to show us how to apply these truths. He's there to show us application of these truths. You know, sometimes when you're spending time with God in prayer about an issue, God will give you something to speak out. That's wisdom and revelation. So often we just kind of mindlessly, you know, I was a Catholic and we did the rosary every night. So you poor kids that think, oh, my parents make me go to church twice a week. We did the rosary every single night after supper, except we had Sundays off, which I don't understand. I think because we went to church that day, we had to do the rosary every night. And some of you don't even know what that is, but it was a very religious practice. And, but it was mindless, thoughtless repetition is all it was. You know, of course, once I got saved, I used to sort of make a little bit of fun of that. I used to make fun of the fact that I did that. But, you know, we can be just as guilty as Christians of doing that by mindlessly and thoughtlessly confessing the word. How many of you have ever read your Bible and not even, you're reading the Bible, but your mind's off somewhere else? Have you ever done that? Shame on us, but we do it. You know, it's like I'm thinking about something else. My mind's off somewhere else. We're not engaged with these truths. We're not thinking about these truths. And so we have to have God's word on our lips. We have to have his word on our lips. That has to be real to us. And that's why when you spend time with the Holy Ghost over any given thing that you're dealing with in life, he can arm you with specific things to say or to do. That's like a weapon, the most useful weapon in that particular case. He might give you just a word to speak out. That's that spirit of wisdom and revelation. And of course, you know, because you're grounded in the Word of God, you know that is in line with what the scriptures say. You know, people say, well, the Lord said this. This is a hard one for us when people come and want to talk to us or sit in a counseling situation. Well, the Lord told me this. And there's nothing even remotely close to that in the scriptures. But, you know, it's hard to tell people that wasn't God. People say, well, God said this to me. But there's nothing to support that in the scriptures. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, the scriptures counter what they think God told them. And sometimes that ruins a person's life because they go for years and years and years based on something that they think God told them. And it wasn't God at all. It wasn't God. So we have to know that we have the spirit of wisdom and revelation on the inside of us, that he is the one who's going to show us how to apply these scriptures. He's going to show us how to use them at the time that we need to use them. That's what God's word will do. God's word, first of all, is what opens that door to that light, but the Holy Spirit is the one who actually reveals it. So who has believed our report? It takes a revelation of God to believe these things. Have you ever shared something with an unbeliever and they look at you like you've got a horn growing out of the middle of your forehead? like, or like you're crazy. Well, it's because it takes a revelation. It takes a revelation to believe the things of God. So who hath believed our report, and who, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So we're talking about revelation. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, the thing that you see throughout the book, this chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, is you see this language of substitution used over and over and over again. And that's the plan of redemption. It's based on the substitutionary work of Christ, isn't it? He took our place. He became sin who knew no sin. That what? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we see this language of substitution used over and over and over again. He became what we were so that we can become all that he is. I mean, that's just the glorious divine exchange. What did he do? He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took everything that we had, that we had done. He took it all so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. That's like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Powerful passage of scripture. And then Pastor talked last week on Sunday and during Sunday service about Romans chapter 5, verse 1 a little bit. And I just saw that that just fits so much in with what we've been talking about. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love the Amplified. It says, we are justified. We are acquitted. We are declared righteous and given a right standing with God through faith. So we are not guilty. I don't care what we've done, what we've been guilty of, what we've engaged in, whether it was before we were saved or since we were saved, and what we still are going to do, we've been acquitted. I mean, how many courts ever acquit you of future crimes? We've been acquitted. Does that mean we could go out and commit all the crimes we want? That's foolishness to think that way, because we have an enemy here in this world. And he's looking for ways to get in. And the ways he gets in is through our foolishness. Again, the reap what you sow thing. That's not God, though. But we've been acquitted. We've already been acquitted, proven guiltless, past, present, and future. That is such good news. I don't know about you, because you know what? I know me. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm still going to make mistakes. I'm still going to get upset with somebody when I shouldn't. I'm going to say things I shouldn't. I'm gonna get upset with my husband at times when I shouldn't. There's things I'm gonna do that I shouldn't do. You know what? I've already been acquitted. So you know what that does? That gives me peace with God. That gives me peace with God. That word peace, if you go back to Isaiah, it says in verse 5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. That word peace is the word shalom. Who knows what shalom means? Peace. But, you know, we've heard, I think it was Billy Brim that brought out, nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken. The word shalom talks about completeness, soundness, health, prosperity, friendship with God. See, God's our friend. God's not our enemy. God is our friend. The world wants us to think that God's angry at us. Religion wants us to think that God's angry at us, that God's holding things against us, that God's a grudge holder. You know, he's just waiting for you to step out of line. He's just waiting for you to do just what, that's the last straw. And then he's going to lean over the balcony of heaven and he's going to nail you with a thunderbolt of some kind. That's what religion thinks about God. That couldn't be farther from the truth about our Father God. He loves us unconditionally. God will not deal with us according to our iniquities ever, ever, because we've already been acquitted. So we have peace with God. We have peace. I love what it continues to say there in Romans 5:1. It says, let us grasp the fact. Grasp the fact. In other words, Paul knows that it's going to be difficult for us to get a hold of this. Grasp the fact, just like a little kid grabbing onto their mom's skirt and they're walking through her coat. Or purse or whatever, because women don't wear skirts much anymore, but going through the grocery store, holding on for dear life, because I don't want to lose her. I don't want to let go of her, because I might, you know, get lost. Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Oh, that's such good news. That's such good news. See, religion doesn't understand this. Religion doesn't understand peace with God. Religion thinks we have to just keep on working really hard to get just to make God happy. We don't want to get on God's wrong side. We don't want to rub him the wrong way. So we just have got to just, you know, no, Jesus already made God happy. Amen. And he did it in our place. So it says, we're going back to Isaiah, and then I'm just going to read this and we'll close. Sean, are you going to lead us this morning in prayer? Okay. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely, he hath borne. Now he's not talking to Shirley here. He's saying, for sure, this is a fact. This is the truth. He hath borne our griefs. And griefs are sickness, disease, illness, suffering brought on by the loss of wealth. It says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Sorrows are grief, affliction, and pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, on that day, the Jews of that day believed Jesus was being punished for his sins. They esteemed, they reckoned that he was being put on the cross for his sin. He was being executed as a criminal. They esteemed that, but he wasn't stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Not for his sin, but for our sins. Our sins are what put him on that cross. The Young's literal translation says, surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them. And we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. So he bore for us as a punishment our griefs. He bore and carried for us as a punishment our sorrows. Why? So that we don't have to. We never have to carry the shame, the repercussions, as far as heaven is concerned. Now again, as I said, there's a reaping what you sow in this natural. If you treat people like junk, let's use another word. If you treat people like junk, how do you think people are going to treat you? I mean, there's just a natural side to life that if you deal with things improperly, you're going to reap that. You know, and sometimes, you know, I remember when my husband first got saved, there was a guy at work that when he first got saved, it's like nobody could believe the guy really got saved because he was a jerk. You know, and it took a long time for that jerkiness to wear off, you know, and for the love and the kindness and the goodness of God to begin to manifest in him. You know why? Because he was reaping what he had sown for years and years and years. And sometimes it's not God. It's not God visiting our iniquities on us. It is us sometimes just simply reaping some of the stuff we've sown over the years. And we have to be patient and allow people to adjust to the changes. Amen. All right. I'm going to cut it off there. We'll just pick up next week right here. I have some more I'd like to say about this passage, this particular verse. But I want you to remember, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Jesus became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen.